8th, 2026. Let's start, please, with a roll call.
City of Cathedral City,
Here.
City of Coachella, Coachella Valley Water District,
Here.
City of Desert Hot Springs,
Present.
Imperial Irrigation District,
Good morning, present.
City of Indian Wells,
Here.
City of India,
Here.
City of La Quinta,
Present.
Mission Springs Water District,
Present.
City of Palm Desert,
Here.
City of Palm Springs,
Present.
City of Rancho Mirage,
Here.
Riverside County District 1, Riverside County District 2,
Present.
Riverside County District 3,
Here.
Riverside County District 4,
Here. Or, no, I'm sorry.
Riverside County District 5.
Here.
Something.
One here,
Chair,
one
we have
here.
a quorum.
Thank you. All right, would you all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance? Our flag is up at the top today, so please join me. Ready? Human.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You. Do we have any agenda modifications or any conflicts of interest that people need to report?
No changes to the agenda.
Conflict of interest? All right, we'll move along. Public comments on agenda items. We all did receive one written one that was placed at your spot on the table. Do we have any other public comments? All right, seeing none. Do we have any announcements from anybody? Oh. Our consent calendar, minutes from our last meeting, and an amendment to a professional services agreement. Can I get a motion on the consent
McKinta
calendar?
moves approval.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item passes. We have nothing held over. And let's move on then to our main agenda. First item up is our CVCC audit for fiscal year 24-26. The budget committee met earlier this week and reviewed it. And Claude is out, so we have the inimitable JJ. If you'll introduce yourself real quick, nobody here knows you. So, and then give us our report.
Good morning. My name is Jiajing Chen. You can call me JJ. I'm the senior accountant for CVAP. I've been working on CVCC's audit for the past 2 years. Since Claude is not here today, so I'm pleased to present the CVCC's audit results for fiscal year ended June 30th, 2025. The independent auditor have issued an unmodified opinion on CVCC's financials, signifying a clean report and affirming that all CVCC's financial records are accurate and comply with all applicable accounting standards. And the finance committee has met on Monday, January 5th, and received the full presentation from the auditor. I would like to take this opportunity to thank all the finance committee members, Chair Gardner, Mayor Holmes, Mayor Evans, and Mayor Truby, and Finance Director McCarthy from City of Indian Wells. So, this year, CVCC demonstrated robust financial health. The net position increased approximately 5.6 million, marking a 4.3% improvement from prior year. The growth is driven in part by approximately $4.1 million increase in investment in capital assets and about $1 million from cash and investments. The revenue for fiscal year 2024-25 increased by approximately $2.2 million. The increase is mainly due to the advanced mitigation funding provided by Caltrans for new project launching in 2025. As well as the reinstatement and receipt of the tipping fees from Coachella Indian Waste Transfer Authority. The expenditure side, the total outlay increased by approximately $900,000. That increase is mainly due to the work performed by external consultants, most of which is reimbursable by associated grant revenue. So as I mentioned earlier, the finance committee have already received the full presentation on Monday, and you can see all the audited financial statements in agenda packet. So we have Shannon Ayala with us. we cannot see her right now, but she's online with us, and she's gonna be available for. Oh, she's the auditor for us. She's partnered with Davis Farr LLP, the independent CPA firm, who performed the audit for the commission's financial statements. So she's here, and she will be available to answer any questions that you may have.
Questions?
Questions or comments from me?
I will say that as part of the Finance Committee, we did receive this preview, and Shannon did a presentation as well as JJ on Monday. And, you know, I think one of the number one, it's an unmodified audit, which is fantastic. But the other thing is, if you recall, they're changing all of the finance and auditing, all of the information systems at CVAG, which includes CVCC. So they literally had to run parallel and duplicate everything as they're doing this audit. So it required really extra diligence to ensure that the documents were in both places. And as that transition happens into our new system, that it was a favorable outcome and staff was willing and able to produce what was necessary with a nice revenue pickup, which you'll hear a little bit later about in terms of our acquisition funds and investments. And thank you again for the JPA on Indio and Coachella on the tipping fees, because that was a point of contention last year. So I'm very pleased. And if there's no other questions, I move approval or receive and file from
the city. Just to receive and file. Thank you, Mayor Evans. And I will second that. The reaction from our fellow budget committee member from Indian Wells was like, oh, wow, and almost stood up and gave a...
Yeah, Kevin was really happy.
Kevin was like... so that is great news, and that's a great reflection on our staff and the double work that they had to do with the new system and the financial health of this organization. So kudos to all of our staff for a great job and for a great audit again this year. So this is just a receive and file. So if there's nothing else, we'll move on to our next item, and we're going to spend the bulk of the rest of the meeting discussing our favorite animal here in the desert, and the American Birding Association Bird of the Year from a couple of years ago. It's the burrowing owl, and I'll let Tom take it off.
If I might, Chair and Commissioners, this is the second meeting in a row where we're focused on one species. You all thought you signed up for the multiple species habitat conservation plan. Lately, it's been the single species habitat conservation plan. And I want to acknowledge your director from IID for being one of the first to kind of raise this issue with the commission here and our partnership, particularly with IID, CBWD, and others. The issue related to the burrowing owl is the state Department of Fish and Wildlife is interested in putting it forward as a candidate as an endangered species. It is one of our listed species in the multiple species plan. We've taken a lot of steps, as you heard at length from KD at the last meeting, including purchases of about $25 million of land in habitat conservation areas that are important for this species. And we are all taking this very seriously because, frankly, the potential listing is a threat to development and infrastructure in the Coachella Valley. And whether you are a part of this because you want to protect species, or like me, you want to do that, and you also want to protect our ability to efficiently build infrastructure, this is a serious threat. We've been approached by a number of developers, private, and of course, water districts, irrigation districts, and others who could be significantly impacted, and frankly, already have been. So with that, KD, if you could again come up and explain some of the background and context, and welcome our colleagues from IID.
Absolutely. Morning, everyone. As you remember, probably back in last year, in November, I know it was a long time ago, we covered a bit of what we were doing with the burrowing owl and what we have done in the last 17 years. For compliance under our permit. In 2025, we were very fortunate to have the Imperial Irrigation District approach us and ask if they could survey our lands through a multi-valley survey. So they surveyed Imperial Valley and they wanted to survey the Coachella Valley. So we provided access to all of the different public lands and tried to coordinate as best as we could to have their biologists access as much of our, the grid space as that you're going to see in the report. That report was finished and came out on December 5th. And we were very pleased to read the results. And today we have the Supervisor for Environmental Compliance for IID, Jessica Humes, who will be presenting the report results, but also Jessica's been with IID for 17 years, and we've been working together on Burrowing Owls for at least 15. So it's very, it's a great to have her here and to be able to give you a culmination of this report. I wanna say leveraging funds like this and working together in coordination with our partner organizations, it's very important for our plan when we do this. And I'm going to follow up and talk to you a little bit more about Dr. Courtney Conway's work, who's been using the observations under this study to make very efficient and important biological analysis for us. So with that, I'll have Jessica come up and talk to you about the report.
Thank you. And just please note that Supervisor Perez and our representative, Ms. Bergen from District 1, have joined the meeting.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm Jessica Humes. I'm the Environmental Compliance Supervisor for the Water Department at IID. I'll be going over a brief summary of our survey efforts in Imperial and Coachella Valley. I will note if you have any statistical questions, I will take those back to our statistician and we can answer those questions at a later date. Unfortunately, I'm not a biostatistician, so I don't want to try to answer anything that I'm not really sure of. Just as a little bit of background, and both Tom and Katie covered this as well, but in 2024, the California Department of Fish and Fish and Wildlife and California Fish and Game Commission received a petition regarding listing the Western Burrowing Owl as either endangered or threatened as part of the California Endangered Species Act. In March of that same year, they did post the notice of receipt of that petition. And then at their April meeting, they actually received it. So in August of that same year, California Department of Fish and Wildlife presented their findings and the commission went forward and accepted the petition and then is now having the Fish and Wildlife Service actually, or the Fish and Wildlife Department, go through and evaluate whether or not it should be listed threatened, endangered, part of the state, whole state. And one of the things that they had carved out as part of the petition was possibly not listing in Imperial and Coachella Valleys. So that prompted IID to hire AECOM as our consultant to conduct a survey in both Imperial and Coachella Valleys. We were looking for a population estimate. So how many pairs of owls do we have? And then those were done as two separate surveys. So first I'll go over the Imperial Valley survey and then the Coachella Valley survey. The Imperial Valley population study had been done previously. So in 2007 and 2008, IID did a full population study as part of the quantification settlement agreement. And then we've done two subsequent subsampling events in the early mid-2000s by both AECOM and Blackhawk Environmental. The surveys were conducted over 283 grids. So the Imperial Valley was divided into all of these grids, 3 by 3 kilometers. All of our surveys were vehicle-based. So we have a driver and an observer drive all of IID canals, public roads, drains, any power department easements, and then any city or county lands or rights of way as well. So we worked in all of Imperial Valley to make sure that we could cover the whole valley. Surveys were conducted in both the morning and evening. So from civil twilight to 11 a.m., we had survey teams out. In the evening from 4 p.m. until civil twilight as well. And then those surveys started in March 31st and went through May 9th. This is just the survey grid area. So you can see we went all the way from the Mexicali border all the way up to the Salton Sea. When we get to Coachella, you'll also see the survey area comes down kind of neat. So we're covering the full Imperial and Coachella areas. Two survey efforts were completed of each grid. We tried to do a morning survey and an afternoon evening survey. That way we were able to detect all possible burrowing owls. Our first visit in Imperial Valley showed about over 4,000 primary burrows and 7,000 owls themselves. That second burrow, or that second visit, had 4,500 burrows detected and about 7,400 adult burrowing owls. So then with our biostatisticians and AECOM, they took all of that data and then they ran estimates for how many owls we actually think are in the valley. So by using just one observer, we have about 7,900 burrowing owl territories. So that's a pair. And then that double observer using both the driver and our second observer, 7,100.
It's a lot of owls.
It's a lot of owls. A lot of owls. As you can see from this map, all of the little yellow dots are where we surveyed and observed a burrowing owl. Most of the areas that are void of dots are mostly towns. So El Centro, Brawley, Calipat, Westmoreland, anywhere that we have a lot of houses, we're not seeing nearly as many owls in the Imperial Valley. Our surveys in Coachella Valley were done a little bit differently. So we did go back to the 1991, 1993 surveys that were done. We did some desktop analysis. We regridded the whole Coachella Valley. We have a few more grids in this area. And then we did a field reconnaissance to actually go out and identify where we thought owls would be most likely to be found. There were some areas that we weren't able to get into, golf courses, private development areas that weren't open to the public. We avoided those areas, but we were able to conduct surveys starting April 7th and went all the way through June 13th. Same time period, we did morning surveys and afternoon surveys. And then after our first survey effort, we did remove some of those grids just because they did not prove to be good quality for burrowing owls. So we didn't want to waste the effort to go back to those. One thing that I failed to mention, but the difference between the Imperial Valley and Coachella surveys is because not all of the Coachella Valley has a lot of roads and canals and drains. A lot of our surveys were done by foot in Coachella Valley. So we had teams, I think at one point we had something like 80 to 90 people out conducting these surveys.
Good.
Most of your hotels were filled with staff. And then we had AECOM, Aardvark, and IID staff out conducting these surveys. Some private land was accessible. We had a lot of public input. You know, what are you guys doing? You're walking around. What are you looking for? So in some areas, we were able to get out onto private land. But for the most part, we were on public land of some sort. So we did work with a lot of agencies. They're all listed here. You know, huge shout out to CVAG, CDWD. Kathy was a great help on getting us access in Coachella Valley. So this is our grid system. The purple area is where we deemed it was suitable for burrowing owls. So some grids, less suitable. We still went out and did that first effort, but not all of them, you know, had really good suitable habitat. Those we didn't go back to, but everything else we did. Same two past surveys. As in Imperial Valley. Not as many owls in Coachella Valley, but still a lot more than had originally been thought to be in Coachella. So we had 321 burrowing owls or territories. We counted that as 485 adult burrowing owls and 58 juvenile owls just during the survey period. Again, a map. The triangles are where we found burrowing owls. You'll actually notice that a lot of them were in the northern Coachella Valley. Some areas we were really shocked to find, you know, in piles of debris, areas that people don't travel. You know, we were finding owls all over the place. So just in conclusion, we had the report completed by AECOM. We also had an independent review by Noreas. So they not only looked at our study, but also all of the history in Imperial and Coachella Valleys, and then the burrowing owl population as a whole. We submitted this data package to CDFW in December, and it has been as well delivered to the commission. We've also been working with all of the local agencies to make sure our report gets out there. It's been picked up by a lot of different environmental firms, just so the information is out there for review. We do believe that this survey effort and the data collected substantiates that listing of the burrowing owl, especially in Imperial and Coachella Valleys, is not warranted, and that all of the existing land practices by both IID, CBWD, BVAG, you know, they're all helping to conserve the burrowing owl.
All right, thank you. Alex, you want to add anything to that?
Yes, if I may. First of all, I do want to thank Ms. Jessica Humes, who was kind of the shepherd of this scope of work that we put together. It's not cheap, but the impacts are incredibly significant, especially from a utility encroachment perspective. So the Imperial Irrigation District was preemptive in taking the study on and financing the study and contracting an agency like AECOM. But ultimately, Ms. Jessica was the glue behind the project. I think what's important is that we continue to work with CVCC in terms of the efforts, and to Mr. Kirk's point about coexisting with Habitat, something that this agency has done, and it takes it very, very serious. So we're just grateful that we can participate as an agency partner and provide some recommendations to the study. I think what's important is that we're not supporting the efforts in terms of the natural agencies, because we've done our due diligence and determined that we can coexist together. And that's what we've done for 115 years plus with our friends, the Burrowing Owl. So I'm asking that this PowerPoint may be presented and given to all agencies, because there's a lot of work. So it's not proprietary by no means. So I'm asking that you folks share it with your municipalities and government agencies, because a lot of work has been done. And it's also included the Coachella Valley. So we're very happy being a partner of CVCC, and appreciate the stewardship that you guys have shown with the biodiversity in not only Imperial Valley, but also Coachella Valley. So feel free to use that information as you see fit. But I guess the important thing is that we're not recommending that this be added, and that we continue to coexist with our good neighbors here.
Thank you, Alton. And I just wanted to add on to that. We really do appreciate that you guys took the lead on this and helped fund this and do all of the legwork, because it's going to, it really does make our case. If you remember back eons ago, it was thought that there were no burrowing owls here, and obviously there are. I can tell you, I have two in my backyard, so they're not nearly as endangered. But you know, I think in the long term, we're dealing with the state agencies that are operating under, I'll just be blunt, a single mindset that we need to do this. And we've done our job here. This actually shows our MHSCP working. And so we need to really make that case. And if data makes a case better than anything else, and now we have the data, thanks to IID and their work, to make that case. But all of us here that are political animals, we know that sometimes data doesn't necessarily persuade either. And so I think as a commission, we need to be prepared as well, that if the data isn't as persuasive as it is to all of us, that we may need to start moving down a political road. Because if the burrowing owl is listed as an endangered species, you know how hard it is to get anything built in this valley anyway now. Do you imagine what it's going to be like after that? And those of us that are in areas like Ms. Duff and I that have a lot of burrowing owls, things are going to grind to a halt. And so this is very critical for us. And so I really appreciate both the staff time and the IID folks for taking this on and giving us the data to make this case. And hopefully the data will make the case, but if it doesn't, we may need to take that next step. Does anybody else have any questions for IID or about the study? Or
I do.
Yes, Ernesto.
What prompted the Department of Fish and Wildlife the decision to list this as a threatened or endangered species?
So they received, Kathy, help me here. they received a petition from
Center for Wildlife Diversity and Sierra Club.
Yes.
It's a fundraising opportunity. Sorry.
The burrowing owl is cute. Looks good on shirts. You can make some money.
Yes, they received a petition. The petition was very lengthy. It had a lot of information. I mean, I don't doubt that in other areas of California, burrowing owl numbers are dwindling or being impacted. But we do have a very healthy population in Coachella and Imperial Valleys. So that's what prompted at least IID to go forward and push this survey forward to help direct the agencies to hopefully not list.
Go ahead, Evan.
Could the Department of Fish and Wildlife reject the AECOM study based on methodology, or could they find some reason to say, hey, man, this thing doesn't pass muster?
I mean, I guess that's always a possibility. We feel that at least the survey methodology that we came up with has been used before, so it's pretty solid. We've worked with different departments, Fish and Wildlife, U.S. Fish and Wildlife as well. At least the local agencies that we're working with are really excited about this data. They think it's great and it's super helpful. So we're really hoping that they will take it.
One of the other thoughts on this too is that we've noticed over the past we have subspecies, if the owls fit into subspecies, but we have the peninsular bighorn and we have the non, I don't know what they would call them, the other, and you have the western Joshua tree and you have the other Joshua trees. So that may be another argument to go down the road with on this, but I'm hoping this makes the case, but if it doesn't, we have a little bit more ammunition left to make that case. Anybody else?
And I'll just say, Ernesto, this stems similar to the effort that Fish and Wildlife made on the bighorn sheep as well, and their mandate to do the fence in the La Quinta areas of multiple either public land, city land, or private development because of a dwindling population with completely outdated and old data on what the reproductivity of these bighorn sheep were. And that stemmed a little bit from the Bighorn Institute. There's a possibility based on the reproduction of the sheep that they could be off the endangered species list, but it became a very expensive unfunded mandate to address that because we obligated ourselves with the multi-species habitat plan to do that. So, we talked a little bit in our finance committee about, how do we potentially lobby when it gets to the political side of, regionalization, because we clearly are proposing to invest even more as a commission, as well as what IAT has done, to prove that we have a healthy population of these burrowing owls and potentially exempt our region from that balance of declining development, since clearly the plan, this is a perfect example of how the plan is effective in balancing the conservation and development process. So I believe it's just another unfunded mandate. We have seen in the past where organizations bring forth things that end up becoming either a settlement or some unfunded mandate that helps the environment, but we're already doing
our part.
We're doing our part and we're passionate about it. And it's evident in the collaboration we have amongst the agencies. So thank you for the work that IAD has done.
Tom had one. Oh, go ahead.
I believe Mayor Evans hit the nail on the head. And I think what I heard is two things. Number one, an exemption. And number two, to the region. So we're not in an echo chamber here, just looking at it from Imperial Valley. We obviously have utility easements in Riverside County as well. But to Mayor Evans' point, we definitely need to look at it from a regional perspective and under a worst case scenario, pursue an exemption to the region as opposed to maybe them overplaying their hand. But I think that's kind of our next step is finding a landing strip here that might include a regional exemption to the burrowing owl because we've created a safe harbor for them.
Yeah, if nothing else, our data proves that. Tom, did you have something to add?
Yeah, now for those of you that have been involved with habitat protection and development in the Coachella Valley for decades, this is the sort of thing the multiple species plan was intended to avoid.
Absolutely.
We've actually been protecting the burrowing owl for now 15, 16, in some ways, many more years, and it shows. And the multiple species plan was meant to avoid the survey work. Can you imagine how much it costs to have 80 people in the field? Can you imagine how much it costs for all of our agencies to be engaging their attorneys on this? Can you imagine how much it's going to cost?
That's a good thing.
The low blow. They've got children that have to go to school too, right?
We need to spend more money on attorneys.
No, we very well might on this issue. And Jessica pointed out that she's not a biostatistician, but I'll give you three numbers: 0, 15, and 500. Zero is how many birds were assumed to be in the Coachella Valley 20 years ago. Zero. When we were developing this plan, there was an assumption that there were no burrowing owls in the Coachella Valley. 15, about, is how many pairs we're required to have in our conservation areas. 500 is how many birds are out there today. This is ridiculous. And it's costly. And it's taking our time and money away from doing the things we promised the public we would do and the taxpayer. Go out and protect habitat. Not spend money on attorneys, however
they well retired. So
this is a serious issue.
A million, you know, that would be different.
So a little perspective on that: 0, 15, and 500. Remember those numbers.
There you go. All right, real quick, Kathleen, and then.
I just had a real quick question. What do we expect the next step from? Yeah.
Next steps are. So right now. CDFW is still collecting information, so we submitted our data. We are expecting them to take a report to the commission sometime in April of this year. I'm not sure if they will make an announcement necessarily, if they'll have a decision, but that will be the starting point. Our legal counsel is telling us that if they do make a decision, it'll be sometime in the June timeframe, either for listing, a partial listing, something. Not listing at all, hopefully. And then that would go into effect probably in August, whatever the outcome is. So, and we do have, I can send that and share that as well. We do have a nice graph from our attorneys of
yeah, and then when I'm assuming we can get the, just send it to the whole commission and
we'll do
all of the slides. Jen?
It just quickly, on page 76, it shows how much money that we have spent on this study. And I don't see a line item for attorneys, but there's so many other line items of very important people who participated in this. But I can think through the years where if we even thought there was a burrowing out like Bob Hope Interchange, everything stopped. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Avenue 44.
And we have always been cognizant and respectful of them. And this is what this whole thing is about, is protecting those and avoiding these type of frivolous issues. So.
Yeah.
Good job, and thank you. Right. Frivolous and expensive, so thank you.
There's two other good words. So, any other questions? If not, thank you. I'm sorry, Alex.
Say that, Alex has told me that it costs $4 million, and that maybe there should be a conversation in the future on reimbursing IID for this with some of this. I'll be on which fair is fair, right?
From who?
From
there's a fundraising opportunity.
Budget.
I don't know. It's just
T-shirts with
CVWD director just suggested a program to reimburse IID.
Now that's
the time that from somebody called
me.
We have come a long way.
Good thing we don't have a Desert Sun reporter here. That is a newsworthy quote. I'm glad the news media isn't here, because that would make the headlines tomorrow. So anyway, thank you, IID. Thank you for all. Oh, I'm sorry, Ernesto. One more
question. Is it suggested right now to reach out to our state representatives at this time?
Or? Not yet. I don't think. I think, but that may be something we're going to need to think about down the road. If depending on where Fish and Wildlife goes with this in the fall. And then we
Wouldn't
may
that
have
be too to late when after they act.
It may not be before they act, but we are recommending that we establish an administrative record, which we are doing. We are giving the department, both IID and CVCC, are giving the department every chance to look at the technical data. And if that doesn't move minds and hearts, we'll be back in touch and probably enlist all of you. to help out with the effort.
Yeah. So. Thank you for this.
All right. Thank you again, IID. Thanks, guys. And while we're on the Burrowing Owl topic and the money topic, we had this as well at our finance committee meeting, and so I'll turn it back over to Katie about reallocating some funds.
Following up on the leveraging of the finances for this particular study, as was mentioned, these types of search exploratory searches for these species are the most expensive because it spends a lot of time, you know, funding biologists to be out there in the field to look for burrowing owls and to find their particular locations. Once they're found, though, we have been able to identify a research unit through the University of Idaho and Dr. Courtney Conway, who is a well-respected burrowing owl biologist who's worked all across the nation on different burrowing owl issues. And he's also working with Colorado State University to do a Western burrowing owl genetic study, looking at how linkages are happening throughout the Southwest, throughout the West. And they approached us actually to include our area in this particular study. As part of that, we had Dr. Conway's team. We worked with them over the summer to put together a contract and from August to December, their team went out and followed up on all of the different observations from the AECOM and Black Hawk biologists in the IID study. And they have been able to actually make a significant effort in corroborating some of the data that we're seeing, but also taking blood samples from these animals as well for genetic analysis. Because one of the questions that is under the listing is that these particular animals are genetically isolated from other areas. Our particular area seems to be well linked to the Southwest. At least that's the theory. And so one of the concerns with the listing, the potential listing, is that animal burrowing owls to the north and to the west, closer to the coast and up north in the Central Valley and beyond, that those animals have been genetically isolated from the rest of the burrowing owls throughout the West. So following up and being able to use our biologists to go back to these different observations, that so far they have banded and after breeding season, 128 owls specifically, individuals, and taken blood samples from 124. So because of the compliance issues that were raised under the September 19th letter that I talked to you about in November from the California Department of Fish and Wildlife and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, we are continuing to make sure that we're documenting everything that we're doing and that this particular study is being able to corroborate not only the observations that you saw in front of you from the IID study, but to continue to answer questions about genetic analysis and future genetic sustainability for the population. So in that, we have, you know, obviously some concerns going forward with administrative and legal expenses. So this particular item is really to ask you to you know, follow up on the authorized study for Dr. Conway's team, but also to continue to extend that contract throughout next December. Because if we're able to follow these animals through the breeding season this year, we'll definitely have a very, very solid set of numbers for our conservation areas. What's in the conservation areas, what's within a mile of the conservation areas so that they could be relocated to the conservation areas, possibly, or to just to understand region-wide, inside and outside the conservation areas, what we're dealing with in terms of population. This will give us all of the numbers that will help us identify whether we do need an elevation strategy to go to the state and also to make this what better known throughout the region, all of the work that we've been doing out here. Because I will say, in the potential listing that was identified through the Center for Biological Diversity and the Sierra Club. They mentioned the 1990s numbers, and they mentioned a return study in 2003 to 2007, but then it just left all of the other information that this MSHDP has been generating for the last 18 years blank. So in that particular potential listing, it looks like, oh, we have 54 owls, or last time we were out here, there was 54 owls. But they completely ignored all of the different annual reports that we've been putting out for all of these years. So with that, I have a recommendation that was presented to the Finance Committee, basically authorizing a $300,000 adjustment to the fiscal year 25-26 budget to cover Conway's contract. But also that $300,000, a portion of that is, it's only $200,000 for this year, and then we'll budget another $100,000 for the next fiscal year. And then an increase of $100,000 for administration and legal fees. As was mentioned, this is going to continue to be a significant issue throughout the year. And it wasn't expected when we did our budget this year. So, and with that, I'll take
it. You sure that's enough for the legal?
We hope.
Yeah. I just want to make sure they're taken care of.
If I may, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
When the fiscal analysis and the staff report indicated it'll be offset by transfers from other funds, if you recall in JJ's report on the audit, we had an increase in the land acquisition, and we had actually increased funds in there to potentially acquire some higher expense land as part of the Conservation Commission. So we do have those funds available to utilize for this purpose. And again, this just demonstrates our ability to indicate this model multi-species habitat plan that is being used across the country on how we can further support what IED has done and our initial experience with Dr. Conway of providing additional data in that monitoring. And our question was, what's the next species that they're going to unfund mandate to us? And we don't know what that might be, but the goal would be is to continue to be diligent on the efforts to prove that we are doing our part in that. And so we supported it as a finance committee, and I would move approval to the recommendation, but knowing that this these funds will come through that land acquisition. And again, if you recall in previous meetings, we are well above our plan goals on land acquisition collectively with all the agencies. So this is really a blip compared to the bigger picture, and I would support it.
Thank you. And I was
going to say the same thing and offer a second, because let's look at what this means in terms of development. I mean, our Avenue 44, the burrowing owl, we had, 4 months of everything being at a dead stop, which we're happy to do, but we don't want to continue that. And we certainly, now that we finally got our first upgrade from IID for our substation and transformer, and there's more to come. How exciting is that? We don't want our development to stop. So okay. this isn't much. So to that end, I'll say
yeah, and it isn't like you both pointed out. It's not a major impact in our budget. Do we have any other? Oh, okay, Kathleen.
Just to Katie's point, I'm wondering if we are not pushing out our annual reports in sufficient fashion. Do we need to be more aggressive? Because we sit here and we're all amazed once a year with our jaws dropping about what's been accomplished, what staff has done with actually very little funding, and how impactful the Multiple Species Act has been throughout the valley. I'm just wondering if we just need to be more aggressive in tooting our own horn about what gets done out here, and how what gets done is also protecting the environment in the long term.
And we had the last big major real report we had on the success of the MHSCP was a couple of years ago at the CVAC annual meeting when we honored Dr. Barrows. And so I do think that's a good point. That's something I think we should look at, Tom.
I'm wondering if CVWD would want to help fund the
For the whole valley, maybe.
A huge press presence now. We need to support journalists as well as attorneys.
Well, doubling back on the statement, these bodies have public meetings.
Yes.
You should just forget the mailing, send a good team, and present it
in their face.
Yeah, and then in some public record on them. They can't say they didn't receive it.
Yep.
You can send it certified. They ain't going to do any good. But if you're going through all this work and effort protecting our Coachella Valley, they don't want to listen.
Okay.
And maybe with the county supervisor, we can go to the supervisors, present it there. We can go anybody that's big enough to hear us. And then it's in their public record. They can never deny it.
Maybe if I may, Ms. Chair, I think that we could never be aggressive enough. I think that's a great point you just made. And, you know, once again, I think in the history of the Coachella Valley with the state legislature, it's always been a second thought. I don't think it is anymore. And that's because of the advocacy efforts of entities like these being more aggressive, as you said, and other legislators that have been very helpful. Now, I do think that we should identify who the chair is or the actual committee and at least present this information to the chair. I'm not saying we have to go to Sacramento. That's a different topic. That's a different, I guess, ride and set of money that we have to use. We just go to their office. And quite honestly, you know, they take so many meetings a day. By the end of the day, they forget they even met with you.
Yeah.
It's, I think, more effective. And my experience was that you met with folks, you met with me in my own office back home. So that saved us a trip.
But if we're able to do that on
an ongoing basis, at least every year, to give those updates, like you said, I think it's a good thing.
And we have retained a lobbyist now, so we have that in there.
I was just thinking the same thing, Gary.
But that's a good point. We have... for probably the most successful multi-species habitat plan in the state. And we do need to grow that from the mountaintop. So I think, you know, Tom, Katie, that's something we probably ought to put our heads around and figure out how we really push out the success of this program and what it has meant to the Valley. So
I think the idea of having it recorded in public venues because it's just in everybody's face.
No. We do have a motion and a second to, we'll combine both of these into one motion and on these two budget transfers. So if there isn't any other discussion, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Are you opposed? All right. Motion passes. Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Tom. Bunch of information stuff there. Any other public comments? Nobody rushing to the microphone.
Items. I just want to thank, the team at CVAG on item 6F, conflict of interest guidance. This is a good reminder for all of us, and I understand this will be presented at all of the committees and CVAG executive. I will suggest that our city policy, that is also a reminder that as we move into a new year and we have experienced some challenges with potential conflicts, that it's a good opportunity for all of us.
We do have that new law in place. I know our city attorney has given us a rundown on it in a closed session. So it is something to keep mindful of. And it will be on our agenda at the front of the agenda every time. And I'll remind everybody to just announce any conflicts if they have any when we do our roll call. So. All right. Our next meeting will be next month, Thursday.
Excuse me, Chair. I'm so sorry. We do have a public comment.
Oh, we do. I'm sorry. So go ahead.
Caller, you can provide your comment.
Can't hear. All right. So we don't have a public comment then. No problem.
All right.
Our next meeting will be on February 12th, 10:30 in this very room. Did you have something? Okay. So yeah, February 12th, 10:30 a.m. here. Thanks again to CVWD for hosting us. And with that, we're adjourned.
All right. Good job.